powerful is the Cox Network. So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Feeling lucky? Nemacolin's Lady Luck Casino is under new management and better than ever with 26 table games and an array of slot machines for you to test your luck. Try your luck at the table games, hit the slots for the day, or stay overnight to enjoy Nemacolin's luxury accommodations, fine dining, and all that the casino has to offer in one breathtaking mountain location. Visit Nemacolin.com for more information and to reserve your stay. Lady Luck is open to the public. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you're looking to grow your family, Shady Grove Fertility is the place more people turn and where more physicians refer their patients. From the first appointment to welcoming home baby, Shady Grove Fertility is here for you. Backed by science and powered by hope, plus a 100% refund on IVF. Shady Grove Fertility is dedicated to delivering exceptional family building care in Rockville, D.C., Fairfax, and beyond. Miracles made here.
And his games.
Should I follow?
quit. Your arson is games. Arson is games. Arson is games.
And that was the Aaron Clift Experiment from their album Lonely Hills in 2012. The name of the song was Arsonist Games. And I have an interview featuring the man himself, Aaron Clift, coming up a little later in the show. But hello to everyone out there in Prague land. This is your old pal, the Prague Squatch, Big Tony, coming at you one more time. And this is the first episode of 2016. So we're going into our third year here. And I want to thank you all who've been longtime listeners for coming along for the ride. And I have a lot of great things planned for this year coming up. I'm always trying to make the show better, and I think you're going to like it.
And now for something completely different.
Yes, it is time for something completely different. Well, maybe not completely, but anyway, I was going back listening through some of the artists that we've featured, you know, going back, looking through some of the old shows, and I hit upon Alec Darson, who's an outrageously talented guitar player and producer who we played on the show before. Wanted to give him a little more airtime here because I think he's really good. So this is Waltz of Titans from his album Panopticon. Once again, that was Alec Darson with Waltz of Titans from his album Panopticon. And if you liked what you heard, you can find out more about Alec or buy some of his stuff at alecdarson.com. That's A-L-E-K-D-A-R-S-O-N, all one word, .com. But now I'm going to continue playing a few of my favorites from 2015, something I started last week. And from one of my favorite albums this year, Skyline by the Barrock Project, I'd like to play the song Gold.
Take my love, pretend it's just a game. Must be worth a try, guess I'll board my plane. All the people look for a new way. I can take any more, not today.
Take the darkest skies and paint them gold. Never fly. the story will still arrive one day. We just need to grow and leave the dark lit past behind. The worst thing that could happen if this push should come to shore, we'll fall alone. And in the sky above us, there's no sign of truth. Where just to be, we'll one day fail together well. We're still the pink the mountains and the demons' golden seas. All my instincts leave me as I gather up my wits, so it seems. I guess it all boils down to fate. Must be a side is failing me once more. Must be my feeling stays the same. Must be one more thing I stay sane. I can take anymore, not today.
Once again, that was Gold by the Baroque Project. Luca Zabini, Luca Pancaldi, and crew from their album Skyline, one of my favorites of 2015. Another favorite was put out by Spock's Beard this year. The name of the album was The Oblivion Particle, and from that album, I'd like to play a song called Tides of Time. We'll be right back. Again, that was Tides of Time by Spock's Beard from their album The Oblivion Particle. Next up, I have a song by a fellow who I've seen live a couple of times playing in Steve Hackett's band. I'm talking about Nad Sylvan. He's got a really great stage presence and a really unique voice. But this is the title song from his album released this year called Courting the Widow.
She lingers beside herself, compelled by her visions. Beside his corpse she will stay. Called the widow I made. Out of the bloodshed and tears, he led in the water where she came down to find him. Bloody water divides, life asunder, my Sunday slumber and die. And I should wipe up this my own life. Caught the widow shall. Are fading so fast. I wish I could travel in time and bring her with me. Call the widow and flee. Oh,
that she's the light in his eyes.
Once again from his album, Courting the Widow, that was the title track by Nad Sylvan.
We interrupt this program to annoy you and make things generally irritating.
Blah, 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 blah.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You've just had a heavy session of electroshock therapy, and you're more relaxed than you've been in weeks. All those childhood traumas magically wiped away, along with most of your personality.
Voyage 35 Radio.
Next up, I've got an outrageously talented keyboard player, guitar player, singer named Pete Jones. The name of his project is Tiger Moth Tales. From the album they released in 2015 called Storytellers Part 1, I've got a song called A Kid's Tale.
Try to reach his goal. The life is serener, the grass is greener on the other side of the troll. But of that beast I fear the worst.
I've got a plan, but you go first.
Great.
Holy roll, I merely guard this bridge and deny you your passage. And now I'm gonna eat you, starting with your head.
Please don't eat me, for I am just a tiny billy goat. My big bro will be here in a mo. A much better meal, you can eat him instead.
Well, that's not very nice.
Hold on, you were about to bite my head off and now you're lecturing me on morality.
Fair enough. Off you go.
Thank you.
I'm a troll in a hole.
Oh, are you the one that says foldy roll?
No.
Oh.
I merely guard this bridge and deny you your passage. And now I'm gonna eat you, starting with your head.
That passage bridge bit doesn't scan very well, does it?
I'm a troll, not a bleeding poet laureate. Come
here. No, wait. My big bro will be here in a mo. And he's much bigger. You can eat him instead.
Not a close family, are you?
No, not really.
Hold on a minute. I've already fallen for this once today. Are you sure he's coming?
Yes, that's him over there. Look.
What? The fat lad?
Yes, that's the one.
Oh, all right. Go on then.
Thank you.
I'm a troll in a hole.
Oh, and
but no, I'm bleeding. Don't say phony roll.
Sorry,
I merely guard this bridge and deny him your passage. And now I'm going to
look. Could I say something?
All right. Well, that's not really saying anything, is it? You're just running at me really fast with your great big pointy. Oh!
Once again, that was A Kid's Tale from Tiger Moth Tales featuring Pete Jones. The album Storytellers Part 1. And that was a cool little track based on an old children's story, as some of the songs are on this album. Even on the previous album, there was some childlike innocence. It was like almost like a children's story aspect to it. It's really good stuff. I can highly recommend both of them, Cocoon and Storytellers. And I'm going to see about maybe getting Pete Jones on the show one of these days. I think I might be able to pull a few strings and make that happen. But as I said earlier, I've got an interview with Aaron Clift, and I'm going to go ahead and play some of that right now. So hello, Aaron Clift. You are actually the first person I'm actually going to sit down and do a real-life interview with here.
I know. I'm very excited. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, thanks for agreeing to do it. I worked out the bugs, and here we are. We're live, and this is pretty cool. This is going to be like a new era of Prog Watch.
Excellent. I'm glad to be part of it.
Wow. Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate that. So I guess we'll get rolling a little bit here. You want to talk a little bit about where your ideas come from and how you develop them?
Yeah. So when the Aaron Clift Experiment, when we did our debut album, Lonely Hills, 2012, the band really just started out as my solo project. So I was writing all the music and the lyrics and all the arrangements, but over time it's evolved and now we're a full-fledged band. So at this point in time, I'm not the only person who's writing 100% of the songs. My bandmates, Eric Gutierrez on guitar, Devin North on bass, co-wrote a lot of the material on our new album, Outer Light, Inner Darkness. So, a lot of times I will come up with an idea and share it with them, and they'll help develop it. But as far as like how the ideas come to me, it really just depends. Sometimes I'll start out with just a lyric, a phrase that sounds cool, and I might develop that, or I might think of a title for a song and kind of build the whole song around that, or I might have a chord progression or a riff or something like that, or a sound I want to go for. But it's always going to come from something that I feel really strongly about. So with the songs on Outer Light, Inner Darkness, I think they kind of ran the gamut of all those different ways of approaching songwriting.
That's very interesting, because a lot of people seem like they're locked into just one approach. Like they always start off writing the chords and then start hanging melodies on that or whatever. But it seems like you will, take it from any way you can get it, right? Basically.
I do have a few like kind of craft approaches that I'll use once the song kind of is underway, but at least the initial part of the song could come really from anywhere. I try to open myself up to a lot of different ways of writing songs because I like to have that variety.
Very cool. So anyway, what kind of equipment do you use? What's your keyboard setup like?
It's evolving. Right now, I've been using for the last 5 years the OpenLabs Neko LX5 keyboard, and I like that. But I'm about to overhaul my live rig. But the kind of core of the sounds that I'm using is with Native Instruments Complete. So that's been where I've gotten the vast majority of my keyboard sounds. And of course, when we did the album in the studio, I used a real life grand piano for all the piano sounds.
Sure. But yeah, that Native Instruments stuff, there's a lot of cool stuff there. I dabble a little in this myself. And it's amazing to me the quality of the sounds that are available these days with the whole MIDI interface kind of thing where you can, the sample libraries and whatnot.
Yeah, I've always been a soft synth guy. I started doing that in college. I was a music major at Tufts University in the last year. At Tufts, I took a year-long electronic music course, and I was using Digital Performer and Reason, and that's kind of how I got into the whole synthesis side of things. And I've always been interested in customizing my sounds. And since I started out in classical music and doing composing there, I like the approach of layering sounds, because to me, it's really just another way of doing orchestration.
I noticed you tend to shy away a little bit from like the typical prog, like gigantic mellotrons and lush choirs and all that stuff. Is that a conscious thing, or is that just you just kind of hear what you hear?
Some of both. I mean, I do actually use quite a bit of those sounds. I prefer a more textural approach, I guess, at least with keys, because I always want the vocals to really be front and center, and the guitars as well in this band, because Eric is such a fantastic guitarist, and he does more of the riff-oriented stuff. The keyboardists that I like to listen to in progressive rock are kind of the more textural guys, like Richard Barbieri of Porcupine Tree, okay. Rick Wright of Pink Floyd, and I like Tony Banks' stuff too with Genesis.
Sure. Who doesn't, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's a master of really, really good keyboard melodies and chord stuff. I that's why I like it so much.
Right. I saw Steve Hackett over the weekend, and just hearing his band play some of the old Genesis live, and you hear, Roger King, his keyboard player, he handled it all just flawlessly. But you really can appreciate some of the stuff that Banks came up with just melodically, as far as like some of his solos and stuff. People walk away, fans anyway, I think they walk away like kind of that stuff gets embedded in your brain. You can hum it after a while, people in the audience, it's just like they knew every note of some of the keyboard work as well as some of the guitar work.
Yeah, I mean, I've listened to Selling England by the Pound's my favorite album, so I've probably listened to the cinema show over 100 times, and
they did that.
I've got that keyboard solo like kind of memorized in my head. So
yeah,
I'd probably be one of those guys singing in the audience.
Yeah, that was me. The very same song, you know, when they did cinema show. There's just such memorable keyboard work in that one. That's for sure.
Definitely.
So can I ask you a little, what's recording like for you? Is it very structured or is it like fluid and more flexible?
Definitely more on the structured side, because nowadays, especially with the way most indie artists are, you don't have a humongous budget from a record label. So you kind of have to be more structured about how you spend your time in the studio. You can't really just mess around completely. So we did a lot of planning ahead for this album with the kind of sounds we were getting. And there was time that we put aside for like, okay, we're going to spend this time getting guitar sounds and stuff. But all the synth sounds, I had all that programmed ahead of time. So that was pretty quick. And the vocals, we had already performed a lot of these songs live. So I was kind of used to doing the vocals. So when it came time to record that stuff, we could just get in there and knock it out.
Yeah, I'm sure that helps a lot, developing it live first.
Yeah, and also having Matt Noveski, our producer, and Kevin Butler, our engineer, working in tandem, made it so that we didn't have to focus so much on a lot of those details. It could just focus on getting the best sound and the best performance possible.
Cool. So you said, you mentioned that you did it all in the studio, more or less. Have you ever done anything? Did you ever like record anything? Do you have a home studio? Do you work at home? Have you brought any like partial tracks in, or is it pretty much you just go in, you have these songs set up and bang, and you just start doing them?
Eric was doing more of the home studio stuff. So we had some demos, recorded and one of the songs on the album, The Last Oasis, which is a symphonic piece. We've got a string quartet in there. That one, we had to actually compose the music, with traditional music notation. Eric and I are both, composition majors. So that was kind of in our wheelhouse, and I was really glad to be working with him on that one. But the challenge on that one was he was using Sibelius, I was using Finale, two completely different programs. So like bouncing the music back and forth was challenging. But in the end, I think it turned out pretty well, and having that preparation ahead of time really helped us.
Great, great. Yeah, it's a great album, the new one. I really did like it very much.
So I decided to break up the interview a little bit and play a little bit of music in between. So this is Locked from the Aaron Clift Experiment from their latest album, Outer Light, Inner Darkness, another good one from 2015.
Locked up in our
Once again, that was Locked by the Aaron Clift Experiment from Outer Light, Inner Darkness.
Nonstop Radio.
Voyage 35.
And I'm going to go ahead and play the rest of the interview.
So you mentioned playing live. Do you get to play live as much as you like? And if you, do you like being in front of an audience? Do you have any fears? Do you get tight still? Or are you pretty much a veteran? Or what? You know, what's it like for you?
For me, like, I'd say now that I've been in this band, I've probably gotten as much experience playing rock music live as I have classical music. But before I had this band, not as much in the rock realm. I did have a band in college, but I was always doing more classical performance, whether it was like solo or in choirs. But in this band, I think the more we've played together, the tighter we've gotten. And it's definitely very different from when we first started. We hadn't played any shows together. We went straight into the studio and recorded the album. I think the difference now is that when you listen to Outer Light, Inner Darkness, there's definitely more of that band interplay going on. And that live energy is in the tracks. But for me, I think anybody, even a veteran performer, is going to get a little bit nervous before a show. I always say to myself, if I'm not nervous about anything, then I probably don't care that much about it. So I care very much about the music. So I always find myself getting a little bit of a pit of anxiety.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's how you use that I think that is kind of what it's performing is all about.
And how you respond to the first flub, right? Because like I said, I have a little experience with it, but we never played out enough to where I ever got comfortable. Every new time we played, it was just like, I was just a bundle of nerves with that feeling in the pit of my stomach that you were just talking about. So I guess it's not just me, even seasoned veterans like you. And it sounds like you have a lot of experience playing classical. And I mean, that's got to be pretty grueling. You got to be on top of your game there.
Yeah, actually, I see lots of connections between classical music and progressive music, and it's not just in the music itself, but kind of just the way of approaching the music and the musical cultures. Like progressive rock fans really want to hear that musicianship and that practice that you've put in. And I think that to me is kind of where the two styles have a lot in common.
Yeah, and just the overall emphasis on, you know, more complex pieces, I think, you know, that aren't just verse, chorus, middle, verse, chorus, you know, that kind of thing.
That's right.
So anyway, for the last question, do you remember the first song you ever wrote, even if you were a kid? What song in your current catalog do you think best defines the sound that you want to be identified with? And is there anything that you're playing currently that kind of foreshadows where you think you're headed?
Wow. So let me break that down. I guess the first classical piece I wrote was probably when I was a sophomore at Tufts University, and I was taking music theory courses up until that point. We were just doing exercises, but
you didn't bang on the piano when you were a kid or anything?
I definitely banged on the piano. My parents had a upright piano at home, and I'd go and bang around on that. They'd play like records for me all the time. But I didn't really get into writing music until I was older. Before that, I was just writing poetry. I wrote my first poem, I think, when I was like 7. So I thought before I really got into the music stuff that I was going to be a writer, and I was kind of going that route. And then I guess my senior year of high school was when I really discovered progressive rock, and that kind of changed it for me. And I decided I wanted to do more music stuff.
Who grabbed you? Can I ask? Can I stop you for a minute? Who grabbed you right off the bat? What was your first couple of bands that you really got into?
The first one was Pink Floyd, because I had a friend in high school who played Dark Side of the Moon for me. And then I was kind of seeking out other bands that had that sound, because I immediately noticed that the music on Dark Side of the Moon had kind of that symphonic quality to it. And so I was looking up on the internet, and this was like 1995. So early days of music discovery on the internet, but I went to AllMusic Guide, and they were describing Pink Floyd as progressive rock. And then I read the description of progressive rock, and it sounded interesting. So I remember going to the CD store, and I bought Images and Words by Dream Theater, Every Good Boy Deserves Favor by the Moody Blues, and Selling England by the Pound by Genesis.
Cool.
And those were the albums that got me into progressive rock.
That's a good, pretty good foundation there to get started. Get a couple of different approaches there. That's
Yeah, definitely. And on the subject of like different approaches, you were asking earlier about kind of where I hear the sound of this band going.
Yeah. I didn't want to sidetrack you, but yeah. Yeah. We were also going to talk about whatever song in your current catalog defines what you think is, you know, your, the song that best defines the sound that you want to be identified with. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So there's a lot of songs on the album, and they all have different kind of aspects to them that I like. I guess, vocally, I really like the performance I got on Unlocked, and I just love the guitar work on that one. I think that song really grooves, and it has a lot of elements that I would love to take into the new songs that we do. I like the multi-tracking and layering that we got on Moonscape, and that was one of my favorite lyrics on the album. And then I guess for progressive stuff, maybe Kissed by the Sun, that has a lot of intricate parts and different sections. And that song kind of lays out a lot of the different facets of this band.
Yeah, I played that a few shows back on a variety show. I dropped in Kissed by the Sun. That one grabbed me. I think that was the first one by you guys that I ever heard. And I really dug it. So you're saying Locked? Is that the song that you think is for kind of foreshadowing where you're headed?
Yeah, a lot of the things that I'm interested in doing with this band. Like for me, one of the cool things I think that we've got with the group is that all of us have some experience playing classical and jazz. And I think you can hear that. In classical and jazz, at least, there's a lot of dynamics and contrasts and interesting interplay between the instruments. And I think a lot of that happens in that song. That's something I always want to bring to whatever we do, is that sense of dynamics.
Yeah, very cool. Hey, it was great talking to you. I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right, man. Like I said, take care and good luck with the band.
Thanks. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Good night.
And I want to thank Aaron once again for being my first real live Skype interview.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And I'm going to leave you with one more from his fantastic band, the Aaron Clift Experiment. This one's called The Last Oasis, also from their latest album, Outer Light, Inner Darkness.
through dry sand, perch high over parched ruins. The last oasis full of wells for those who still dream of wetter days soon to
Once again, that was The Last Oasis by the Aaron Clift Experiment from their album Outer Light, Inner Darkness. And yes, that sound is me climbing up into the attic one more time to find another classic for our Classic Corner feature. And I've been listening to a lot of Hawkwind lately and realized I'd never played any on the show. So this is going to be a first here. We're going to play some Hawkwind from their album Warrior at the Edge of Time in 1975, which is considered by many to be one of their finest albums. I've got the two-part suite, Assault and Battery, and The Golden Void by Hawkwind. We'll be right back. That was Hawkwind once again. Assault and Battery in the Golden Void, a two-part suite that kicks off their classic album Warrior at the Edge of Time from 1975. And Hawkwind was, of course, Dave Brock on guitar, synthesizer, bass, and some vocals. Nick Turner, tenor and soprano saxophone, flute and vocals. Simon House, piano, mellotron, moog, violin. And Lemmy Kilminster on bass guitar before he went off and formed Motorhead. Simon King and Alan Powell were doing drums and percussion, and we had Mike Moorcock providing some vocals on a few tracks on the album.
Farewell and adieu to you fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu, you ladies of Spain. For we've received orders for to sail back to Boston. And so nevermore shall we see you again.
Ah, yes, it is that time once again. I think we jammed a lot into this show once again this week. Didn't have a lot of time for chatting, but we sure had a lot of good stuff on the interview and some of the great songs I was playing from 2015. Great material from the Aaron Clift Experiment and the classic from Hawkwind. But anyway, if you care to, go and visit the Facebook page, Prog-Watch, and give me a like there. Or follow me at ProgSquatch on Twitter. If you do either of those, you'll get to see the Daily Classic, which is a little feature I'll be firing up again real soon once we get past the new year. I'm taking a little break for the holidays, I guess. And another way you could reach me is progsquatch@gmail.com if you care to. I had a nice little email from Jeff McDermott, who enjoyed my 2015 special. Him and his wife actually listened to it and said they were touched by the Chris Squire song I played. I told you guys to get out the Kleenexes on that one. Yeah, Jeff's a longtime listener, and I wanted to give him a little shout-out. I do appreciate getting email. But thank you all for coming along for the ride once again, and I'll leave you with Prog On, brothers and sisters.
Round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.